Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious God, we bow our heads in your holy presence. We are so grateful to be here to hear you speaking. So would you please send the Holy Spirit to guide and teach us, and then would you please use our offering to bring glory to your name as we do good works in your name to serve others so they might see your glory too. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Well, today our church calendar tells us that this is Transfiguration Sunday, and it's the day when we remember what happened when Jesus took three disciples and went up on a mountain to pray. He was changed in front of their eyes, and they had a look at him as he is in heaven, glorified and bright in majesty. And the reason this happened is found in the verse just before our passage for today. And the passage is on page 1477 in that Pew Bible. And we start at verse 28 in Luke 9. But in verse 27, it says this. Jesus is speaking. He said, "Truly I tell you, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God." He's talking to his original followers, and he's saying, some of you are going to see something so special that it's going to just be with you forever. And that's what three of them saw on the mountain. They saw the King, Jesus, as he is at his Father's right hand. And because they saw the King in his heavenly glory, they saw the kingdom, because the kingdom is Jesus. So they saw this, but there's a word for us too in our own day. We weren't there on the mountain. We'd love to have been there, but we can still see by faith. And we can see clearly by faith today as they did with their own eyes. And we'll come back to how we see a bit later. You also might wonder why we're in Luke, because we've been in Matthew now for at least 6 weeks. But I'm using Luke's version because it has a few more details that I think are helpful to us. So I'd like to go through the passage first, briefly, and then come back to what this says to us in our own lives today. Now, one thing to notice here in the passage is that there are lots of references to Jesus, to his identity. You'll recognize these because these come up in the other Gospels. They're very common. There really are no surprises here. And these words capture Jesus as we see him consistently in the New Testament, the whole New Testament. The words point to him really as the centerpiece of God's plan. He is the centerpiece. He's the crowning glory of all creation. And I'm just going to pick out four images here in Luke 9. There are probably more. You can, if you see more, let me know. I'll write them down. And next time, it'll be an even longer sermon, okay? It'll be your fault. Well, here's the first image. Jesus is the shepherd. He's a shepherd. Luke says in verse 28 that about 8 days after Jesus said what he said in verse 27, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went up onto a mountain. That's a shepherd, isn't it? Taking three of his sheep and going somewhere, leading them out specifically to a certain mountain and to do something specific, to pray. And we have a clue about his purpose. The purpose, again, is just back in that verse 27 when he said, some of you are going to see the kingdom of God before you die. We can take from this that these three were chosen to see something special about the kingdom. In God's plan, Jesus wanted Peter, James, and John to know a bit more and to see a little bit more with their own eyes. So like a shepherd, he led them. And where did he lead them? He led them into a place of blessing and peace, where they went deeper in their relationship with him, and they had eyes to see him as he really is in heaven. And this is how we might describe life in God's kingdom. It's a place of blessing and glory and peace, of amazing wonder. He wanted them to see this with their own eyes. And that meant showing them who he is. And that's what he's doing here. So he led them up the mountain. And the special sight they were given came because Jesus prayed. He prayed for them. This transfiguration didn't just happen by accident. Jesus wasn't caught off guard. He prayed. And we know this because of what he said in verse 27. He said, some of you are going to see the kingdom of God. And this is what he means here. It comes right after. He decided to take three of them deeper. And as their shepherd, he wanted to show them a little bit more about his identity and place in God's kingdom. And he led them out to pray. He led them to pray. Second thing, besides being the shepherd, Jesus is the glorious light. He is the light of the world, as we just sang about. Let me read verse 29. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. What an amazing privilege that they were given to see Jesus as he is at the Father's right hand. And being able to see him in this way is a rare thing. It's a rare gift. In a way, you're looking behind the curtain to see how things are in the heavenly throne room. And it's not given to many. It's a rare thing, but it was given to some. And it was given to encourage them, to help them in their own work, and then to tell us about it too, so we'd know what to expect, so we could see a little bit better with our own eyes of faith. And what better way to keep the apostles strong and get them ready for the work they were going to do, because we know what was coming for them. Suffering, violence. Most of them died as martyrs. They died gruesomely. But as they suffered and struggled, would they ever forget what they saw on the mountain? Never. Would you ever forget something like that? You never would. It would stay with you forever, and it would color everything you saw and knew about Christ the King. So these three remembered his glory. They remembered his transfiguration, and it proved who he is. When Peter sat in prison waiting for the end, he must have been helped by these events. As he sat in prison waiting for his own martyrdom, his own death, he'd know that evil could never destroy the reality of what he'd seen on that mountain. In his second letter, Peter talks about this. He talks about always wanting to remind the church about the truth of the gospel and how the gospel is rooted in real historical events. He knows from firsthand experience how quickly we can forget. I mean, shortly after this, he forgot, didn't he? He saw Jesus transfigured, but then he denied he knew him. Well, that's what we do. That's the ability of our minds to forget. Peter knew that we're going to struggle with spiritual dementia. We forget about God's goodness. When a challenge comes or when life gets really good, we forget how much we rely on the Lord. So in his second letter, Peter said this, I'm going to remind you, and he said, I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things. What things? Well, he goes on to say, he says a little bit later in the letter, we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. He goes back to this event, and he says, I remember. I want you to remember how good and glorious God is. And the voice that spoke, saying, this is my son whom I've chosen, listen to him. So these glimpses of Jesus' glory are meant to kickstart our memories as they kickstarted Peter. And according to Peter, in that same letter, he said this, that a strong memory does this. A strong memory of Christ leads you to everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him, who called us by his own glory and goodness. We need that knowledge. We need to be reminded constantly that God is with us in glory, and he's called us to know him in this way. So Jesus the shepherd, Jesus the light, and thirdly, Jesus the one who fulfills. He brings everything to fulfillment. Now, if you're following along in Luke 9, I'm down at verse 31, and this is the point in the story when Moses and Elijah appear. These are heroes of the Old Testament. Moses, representing the law, the word of God. Elijah, the prophet. And these two men, over the course of their lives, worked so hard and so faithfully to keep people, the people of Israel, faithful to God and stay connected. They worked tirelessly and kept calling the people back when they turned away, when they forgot and chose disobedience. But why were they there on the mountain? Well, Luke tells us. And this, again, is coming from the eyewitnesses, from Peter, James, and John. This is what they heard. Moses and Elijah spoke about his departure, about Jesus' departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. So they were there to talk about what Jesus was going to do on Calvary, on Golgotha, on the cross. And the word used here is departure. And any good study Bible will tell you that that word there is the same word as Exodus. Exodus. Does that sound familiar from the second book of the Bible? The meaning here, I think, is clear that on the cross, Jesus was about to lead his people out of bondage. Not bondage to Rome, but bondage to a bigger enemy called sin and death. And way back in the book of Exodus, God empowered Moses to set the people free from slavery to Egypt. And the two men in Luke 9 represent all these men and women of faith all through the Old Testament. They served God and the people of Israel. They kept calling the people and saying, God chose you. God has set you free. Be free in him. Don't go back to slavery. But as we know, the people of Israel, people in the church today, we keep on, don't we? We keep forgetting. We keep disobeying. In the Old Testament, the people of Israel ended up in exile. God brought them out of exile, let them go back to Jerusalem. Things were good for a while, but eventually the wheels fell off. And for Moses and Elijah, they ended their lives in a fair amount of frustration. They didn't see the plan fulfilled. But here in Luke 9, we see something amazing. We see them meeting with Jesus, speaking about his exodus, which he was about to bring to fulfillment in Jerusalem on the cross. And here we have Moses thinking, oh, I remember the Passover. When we were set free, when the blood of the Lamb spared us from God's judgment, and we were led out into freedom in the promised land. And now here's the perfect Lamb of God who's going to set us free forever. And the conversation here between Moses and Elijah and Jesus is all about God's plan to fulfill. God's plan to fulfill everything Moses and Elijah hoped for and talked to the people about. The biggest enemy was about to be beaten, and God's plan was going to be fulfilled or completed on the cross. Now, the fourth image here, and finally, Jesus is the chosen one. He's the chosen one. So far, we have Jesus the shepherd, Jesus the light of the world, the glorious light, Jesus the one who fulfills God's plan, and now the final jewel in the crown. And if these three images aren't enough to convince us and refresh our memories, how about the voice of God speaking? How about the voice of God the Father speaking in a way that eyewitnesses heard it? This is really rare, but here we have it in verse 35. Going back a bit, God spoke when Jesus was baptized, and here we have it again. And we know it's God because the cloud came and covered Peter and the others, and that again takes us back to the Old Testament when God would speak to Moses from the cloud, and they knew it wasn't an ordinary cloud. This story was taking place at night. Luke says that they were very sleepy. I thought maybe it was an afternoon nap at first, but I don't think so. I don't think so. This was at nighttime, because the way Luke describes it here, the appearance of Jesus changed. He became as bright as a flash of lightning. That's nighttime. That's nighttime when you're absolutely overwhelmed and your eyes can't see because of the brightness of the light. And this is the glorious cloud, God coming, God the Father, meeting these three apostles, and they knew they were in God's holy presence. It reminds us of the people of Israel standing at the foot of Mount Sinai while God's speaking with Moses in the cloud, and they were trembling in fear. And then the voice of God speaks. And Bill at the 8 o'clock service had an interesting take on this, and I think he's right, that Peter responded because Peter simply wasn't sure what to do in this situation. So he said, well, I have to do something. I can't just sit here and listen. So can I put up some shelters for us? And Bill said, isn't it interesting that when Peter was saying something which really made very little sense, and Luke says he didn't know what he was saying, God interrupted him right away and said, don't be distracted about making tents or dwelling places for us. This is not what this is about. This is about me telling you, this is my son whom I've chosen. Listen to him. This is as clear as it gets. God the Father speaking in a rare event from heaven, saying, "This is your King, the Messiah." And what do you do in response to that? You listen. Before you think about doing anything, any action on your part, listen. Listen. There's always a temptation to not spend enough time listening, to run off half-cocked like Peter and do something. Go do something. But simply sit or stand and listen. Listen to the one who's been teaching you for these past couple of years. Listen to the one who's going to keep on teaching until the time he goes to the cross. Listen to the one who's going to come and teach you again after his resurrection. Listen to the one who's going to teach you through the Holy Spirit after the ascension. The Father's saying the voice of Jesus is the most important voice ever. Listen to him. So we have these four images. Jesus the shepherd, Jesus the light of the world, the glorious light, Jesus the one who fulfills, and Jesus the chosen one. And now the obvious question is, and really the correct question for you to ask, and believe me, I'm not offended, you should say loudly, so what? Can we try that just for a second, just for fun?
So what?
On three, okay? One, two, three.
So what?
So what? Well, I'll tell you. What do we do with this? These images are meant to refresh us spiritually, to renew and strengthen our memories so that we can be faithful and growing followers. And when you need to be refreshed, you can go back to Luke 9 and remember these images. So I want to suggest briefly as I finish here some ways to apply these images as you walk with Christ. First of all, Jesus the shepherd. He's a shepherd. Ask him to lead you. Ask him to lead you. And not just a general, "Lord, please lead me." How about leading as he did here? Lead you in prayer and through prayer. Use your imagination and put yourself in the place of Peter, John, and James on that mountain. You're there as someone who's been led there by Jesus for a time of prayer. And in that time of prayer, he's going to reveal himself. Now, we haven't been privileged to be at the Transfiguration, but through prayer, we get a glimpse of him, don't we? We see him with the eyes of faith. He's the shepherd. He's spoken to you. He's given you the gift of hearing his voice and recognizing your voice, so you know he's your shepherd. This isn't just any old spiritual teacher with any old voice. He's the one who leads you to the mountain, leads you wherever he leads you to pray. He prays for you, and he prays with you and next to you. And then this prayer leads into the second image, which is Jesus, the light of the world. As you pray to God in the name of Jesus, his prayer for you is that you catch a glimpse of his glory, to see him as he is right now. Right now, at this very moment, he's sitting at the right hand of God the Father in glory, with the angels and archangels praising him. But from that place, what's he doing? He's praying for you. He's interceding for you. And his prayer will give you the illumination that came to Peter, James, and John. Their eyes could see in a new way. The brightness of Jesus is like a flash of lightning. This is the inspiration you get as you pray. And it's the insight and encouragement you get as he illuminates you with his presence. And the memory of that's going to stay with you, and it's going to carry you through the times when you need it. So you know that the Holy Spirit is always active with you and in you and through you today when you pray. Next, picture how Moses and Elijah came at that moment to talk to Jesus about a very specific thing. Let your memory banks be flooded with the amazing grace that on the cross, Jesus fulfilled God's plan for all of creation. And his plan is to choose a people and bring his people out of exile, out of slavery, and into new life in the promised land, in the kingdom. What else can you do but be amazed that through a cross of crucifixion and a bloody death, that you'd be led into new life. Simply be amazed that this King fulfilled God's plan for you and for all of creation. And nothing can stop that or take it away. And finally, listen to God the Father when he says this, "This is my Son whom I have chosen, listen to him." The main takeaway here, I think, is that as we're praying and as we're following and serving Christ, we're following one who actually speaks. He speaks to us. He spoke then, he speaks today. He spoke to the three on the mountain. He speaks to us today as we encounter him in Luke chapter 9. He's the God who works in his creation to bless. He's the God who speaks to his people through the word given. The word given first to Moses and the prophets and completed by the apostles. Listen to how Paul describes this word of God. Paul says, "All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." So this word of God is meant to equip you. Through worship here, as we worship the Lord God, we're meant to be equipped for every good work. And we need this. There are going to be days when your spiritual memory is foggy. On those days, go back to Luke 9. Go back to the Transfiguration. Remember that Jesus the shepherd leads you into the presence of God for prayer. Jesus, the light of the world, shines his brightness into your life. He illuminates your path so you won't stumble. Jesus the King has fulfilled destiny so that you can be a child of God. And Jesus the Savior speaks to you today through his word. He speaks. In response to this good news, what should we do? We should go to him in prayer and listen to his voice. Amen.